Perhaps you could turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs and chapter 16. Proverbs and 16. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy word, thy love letter, that we might have the benefit. We might have the benefits by way, Spirit of God, of your helping us. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study on Wednesday, may I just take that a little further. And we share together, among other things, in Proverbs chapter 16. And remember, as you read chapter 16, it's all about God's, I'll read verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So we do all kinds of things, but God is the working out, the ultimate is God. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth and trieth the spirit. So we do all kinds, world does all kinds of things about God. You're always there. Sliding down, verse 9, a man's heart is deceitful, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So the plan, the heart of man is one way, but God, the steps of another. So God, you're involved, always involved in that. You're not an absentee landlord. So when we come to the end, verse 33, the lot, as we shared Wednesday, the lot, that which is in your that portion of life, that period of time that is yours. The lot is cast into the lap. Think of our lap for our position of it. But the whole disposing, where disposing has to do with judgment, the judgment of God, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. God does the judging. God does. Now, so the lot is cast into the lap. Every human being, we have to carry that which is in front of us, which is on top of us. And the outworking of it is up to God. God's going to outwork it all in the light of his wonderful glory, in the light of what we did a little bit in Sunday school, that God has a wonderful plan, and the plan has to be outworked the way it's going to be outworked. Now, having said that, so here we are, in this particular time in history, for us, let alone all the world. But for us, it's very, 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 very special because we never have had such a setting, even locally for us, as this has been. So now, therefore, with all the sickness and everything. So the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole outworking of it, the judgment thereof, belongs to God. So, exercise, God, help us. So go with me, please, how it works out. How is this going to go? Ecclesiastes, and in chapter 3. And in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, you have God's wonderful, wonderful outline by Solomon. Solomon is showing you what it's like on earth, what it would be like on earth, all 12 chapters, what it would be like on earth without God. You're going to leave God out of the picture, you're going to leave God out. It's going to be like 12 chapters. It's going to tell you every aspect. Solomon, if anyone could write about what it's like on earth, Solomon certainly could. He was the one qualified indeed, like no other. Therefore, in the light of it, I'll just get the first part, chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time, to every purpose, under the heaven. Now, the word time is going to be used 30 times in 1 through 11. 30 times. Time, 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 time. That which has boundaries to it. A time to get out of bed, a time for this, a time for that. A time for something, time of the Gentiles, etc. A time of night, a time of day. Now, so that's the word time, time. That which takes place in a portion of history. It's bound by something. There's a time for everything. A time to be born, verse 2, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And it's going to go through and list 14, positive, but every time positive, 14 negative, positive, negative. On the one hand, it's in your hand, and the next minute, it's all gone. We have it, but we don't have it. We're born, but we die. Everything opposite. Now, so that's what it does in chapter 3, 1 through 9. So a time to be born, a time to die. All of these times. Now, and when you come to the end, verse 9, what profit hath he? And by the way, if you took time to read all of that, it's a time to weep, a time to laugh, etc., etc. Time to cast down, a time to get up, time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, verse 6, etc. All of it is opposites, opposite, opposite. One time you got something, the next minute you don't have it. And that's true no matter who, no matter how, whether you're a zillionaire or nothing. It wouldn't make any difference. The times are there. The time of birth, and time of richness, time of having something and not having it. That's true for the rich and the poor. Now, sliding over, if I can, verse 9, chapter 3. What profit hath he that worketh in that which wherein, in that wherein he laboreth? In other words, how do we make any benefits? How do we make any headway if on one hand we have it and the next minute we don't have it? Verse 11. Verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, us humans, to be exercised in it, by it. So, here we are looking at life, being born and living, work, home, school, play, everything we do. Verse 11, God hath made everything beautiful, useful in his time. Also, he has set the world, eternity, in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So in the heart, a kangaroo is never calculating on retirement. Kangaroos don't retire. People don't retire. The animals don't retire. They just live. A turtle lives, 40 years, whatever it is. And whatever they live, and they do it, and they die. That's what they do. But humans have got a problem because they are not like animals. They are made in the image and likeness of God, for God, to enjoy God, to know God. So, the human, what are we? We're concerned after death. What is after death? What is the future? We're looking at the future, are we? The kangaroo isn't looking to the future. He isn't doing that. We're looking to the future. What's going to happen and what if, what if, and all of that. Now, having said that, so there's a time. Verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. Why? That men should fear before him. In the end of verse 11, that they might know him. Know him. They might know. They can't answer the future. Only God can answer the future. So 14. That to fear him, the end of verse 14. Verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. In other words, the days, the season, the years, whether it's with Pharaoh or with Napoleon or with us, They all occur, same sun, same trees, same everything, just keeps going, and us humans exist. And we're there. So God, what are we going to do? Well, why am we here? The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole outworking is God's. Well, God, if we leave you out, how are we going to answer anything about our children, family, friends, enemies, sickness, health? How are we going to do it? So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in Ecclesiastes, go with me, please, over to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up, chapter 7, go to verse 14, you'll catch it. I'll even read verse 13 for a little better context. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? And in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end purpose that man should find nothing after him. So when we think we've answered everything and found everything and understand everything, we don't. We don't. We did it all, we got it. Now, having said that, and I'm going to add it while I'm turning the page, Ecclesiastes, since you're in the next chapter there, verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? In other words, he has the purpose, time, judgment, misery, the misery of man, verse 6. Sliding verse 8. There is no man that hath power, rule, to rule over his over the Spirit, to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power to rule, to mastery of, in the day of his death. There is no discharge in that war. There's no in the military, there's no recreation, no break, no refreshment, like we did in Sunday school. There's no discharge in the war. We live in this body, day in and day out, from the day we're born to the day we die. Neither, verse 8, neither shall the wicked wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Over to chapter 11. So as you're going through Ecclesiastes, you're reminded the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing judgment is God's. And we can't answer that. We can't put it together. So therefore we come chapter 11 and verse 8. But if a man lived many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. In other words, all those good times, but hang on, there won't be. For they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and in thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things that you're doing and trying to live your life day in and day out, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole judgment is God. So we're going to do what we do. Okay, in verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. But childhood and youth are vanity, and they all disappear. They all disappear. All our yesterdays, as much as we lived through them and did them, they're all gone. We can never have them. Now, therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Well, you're young, you don't get everything yet, but our society is helping us speed that up and having young people face life far ahead of time. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, it was wonderful to be 20, but to be 110 is not so easy. It's not so easy at all. So therefore, Therefore, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. The lot is cast into the lap. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In other words, if you're going to live a life without God, and you're going to try to get along without God, you're going to have to try to answer life's, and you can't answer life. You can't answer it. You can't put it together. Therefore, God, you are involved in what you do and how you do. Now, just to give you a taste, do you know it? How does it work, God? Well, here's Israel. Here's Israel with David. God raises up the nation. Solomon, 40 years of peace. Wonderful, wonderful. But Solomon didn't have the heart as David did. But he did what he did, the way he did it, and he got tied up in idolatry. So over in 1 Kings in chapter 12. And remember now, in the context, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom is divided. So the 10 tribes in the north under Jeroboam, the 2 tribes in the south Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now, having said that, now God, and so Rehoboam and the 2 kings in the south, Jerusalem, they're going to go and attack the 2 kings, Jeroboam and the 10 tribes, to go attack them. Now, God, I'm interested in how it works. God, are you involved in what happens and how it happens? Are you involved? And do you start, stop, and do things? I do, said God. Watch. Now, Rehoboam is told by the prophet. He's told, Rehoboam's going to go and get, because Jeroboam is not even of the family of David, etc. So therefore, chapter 12, verse 24, thus saith the Lord, this is to Rehoboam, the king, ye shall not go up and fight against your brethren and the children of Israel. Return every man to his house. Now the reason for this thing is from me. I don't want it. God, the lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing is God's. God, you stepped in. All the things are happening, and you never say a word. And all of a sudden, you speak up because you want an absentee landlord. This thing is for me. Verse 24. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Now, God, what did you do? You allowed the kingdom to be divided. 10 tribes in the north, 2 in the south. The 10 tribes in the north have kings, prophets, and priests. They got nothing. It's all negative. God spares the 2 tribes in the south and keeps them. Because the 10 tribes in the north are so into idolatry, as you read the chapter, they create their own days, holy days. They create new places to worship. They make priests that aren't priests. They have sacrifices that aren't sacrifices. They made the whole thing different. God, you stepped in. All things are going, but then you stepped in for the time, for this thing. Is from me. Don't touch this. I want them, 10 tribes. Who's going to take them? The Assyrians. I'll spare the Judeans and Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin. I'll spare them 100 and something years. I don't want them mixed up. Don't you go to war and make them all come together, the 10, 12 tribes like this. Don't do it. God, you spoke up. when you needed to. And you stopped. You knew what was going to happen with those 10 tribes. You knew what Jeroboam would have done in his idolatry. God said yes. That's why God stepped in. God, all things are happening, Ecclesiastes on planet Earth, men are coming and going and born and die, and but we can't answer how the things go because we don't have any answers. We try to have answers, but we don't have them. We dream about them, communism and all these. They have no future. The future is communism. The future is socialism, except Marxism and all it is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, but now, so here we are looking at that. Over with me, please, to pick up a next word. So, God, you're involved. Uh-huh. So here's the UN, here's Russia, China, Afghanistan, North Korea, here they all are, all doing Afghanistan full of all the bad guys controlling it. I think there's 9 of them I saw. Nine terrorists running the country. Wow! And God, you get involved when you need to. Everything's going. It looks like it's going, and there's no God. Wrong. When it needs to, God stops it. Now watch. Over, if you would, to for Psalm number 9. And in Psalm number 9, picking up, please, in thought, may I go, this is of David. I'm going to stay with David because David's going to be our help. Here's David. And Psalm 9 and 10, they're connected. So, but picking up right if I can in the light of the context, chapter 9, for our little thought to take, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times, there's your word. Remember, a time to be born, a time to die. We read them. There's the same word. A refuge in times of trouble. Verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Why? For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Seek me, you're going to find me. Chapter 10. Again, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times, there's your word, of trouble? So here's the trouble. And we are in a time like we've never had, having a time of it. All kinds of things, in all kinds of ways. It's one thing to have sickness. It's another thing to have the politics. It's another thing to have a whole changing of our country, everything. All of that, and the changing of the world. The changing of the world system. Wow, we never had that in all of our history. We never had it, but we got it now. Now, having said that, David, help us some more. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 139. David, you got to help us some more. A lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing is God's. Okay? And God, you step in when you need to. There's no question. Whenever you stop anything when you need to, and otherwise you don't. So Psalm 139, David, help us some more. A time of trouble, you know, you had all kinds of troubles, but you were there. God was always there. And it's going in and going out. God blessed him. Now, Psalm 139, picking up in verse 1. Thou, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known my heart. Thou knowest, verse 2, my sitting down, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Lord is cast into the lap, the whole disposing thereof. There's no part of my day, 24-hour day, 7 days a week. There's no part of my week, no part of my month, no part of my year that you don't know. Think of Sunday school. Now, if I can. Verse 17. Well, no, a little better than that. Over to chapter 139, verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, can I find a hiding place there? Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, or Hades, or Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, seven miles down into the ocean, if I try to do that, no. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So God, you're always there. So David said, my troubles are there. They were. But God was always there. Always there. Always there. So God, that's what you'd wanted. That's what you want us to know and understand. So in the midst of the troubles, no matter how bad, no matter how difficult, even for Jeremiah, think of our study on Wednesday with Jeremiah, chapter 30, going into the tribulation. Wow. God, you're going to allow that? I am. You're going to allow it. So therefore, God, there's no way to hide, no way to run, no way. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. There's no one. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness is the and the light are both alike to thee. There's no way to get away from you, God. Now, hang on to that part. The lot is cast into the lap. God has a wonderful plan for our life, like we did in Sunday school. A wonderful plan. It's all there. It just has to be outworked. How are we going to outwork it? Well, we can't outwork it, Ecclesiastes, because without God, we can't make it. We can't enjoy the plan. We can do a whole lot of things apart from God, it seems. Do this and do that. But we don't have any answers. We can't lock down the future. We can't tie it together. We can't journey down from Monday to Tuesday to forever properly. We can't end up in a good place. The future isn't going to come out good for me, you, or anybody, family, friends. I want that future to come out. It can't come out good apart from God. It can't come out. Now, having said that, therefore, there's nowhere to hide. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So, God, your thoughts about me are as the sand of the sea. And you know all that. Awesome, awesome. A handful of sand, let alone an ocean full of sand. Wow. Oceans full of sand. Wow. Deserts full of sand. Wow. God, your thoughts. So, God, who am I dealing with? I'm dealing with the Creator, with God, in His magnificence. That's awesome. That's awesome. I need to understand that better and seek it. So if you want to know about my life, I'm seeking to know God. I want to know Him. Like Job, we're going to do that. Like David, like the Apostle Paul, I want to know Him. That's what I want. And as we journey, we are a testimony to all people that see us because of our journey. Who's important in your life? What is important in your life? Family, friends, enemies, job, home, health, wealth. What's important to you? God is. I can do without everything, anything. I could do without everything except God. And I could Worrying about everything doesn't help, but I better keep my straightness, my sincerity, my single-heartedness with God. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that. People can do or say, they come and go. I don't want to lose that. That's what we're after. Now, having said that, therefore, the thoughts are more than the sand of the sea. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. The lot is cast into the lap, the whole working is God's. So you're looking for God's working to work out his goodwill. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So God, get my heart straight, that I, as I journey through time, help me to do so. That's where I want to go, that's what I want to do, that's where I want to be, and God, I can't even compete, I'm not even going to try. Your thoughts are higher, your thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens, so more than the sand of the sea. So I'm not going to try to outthink you, outdo you in any way. All I can do is say, God help my unbelief. God help me to see, to understand. That's what I could say. Now, having said that, David, now, what's in the light of all of this? Now what? Now, over to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Do you remember David? We did it on Wednesday. But I want to pick it up again and tie it together. Psalm 31. Now, David, you're going through what you're going through. And like in, well, I won't even take time. Well, I'll do it. Psalm 31. May I pick up, please, in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy, your righteousness. Bow down thine heart to me. Deliver me speedily, for thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have privily laid for me, for thou art my strength. So God, David said, I'm trying to journey down the corridor. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, you're in it. I'm in it, God. I'm going down. What am I going to do? God, you aren't absent. You haven't disappeared. And I need to be trusting you as I have. That's how I kill Goliath. And that's what I need to keep doing, trusting you. Therefore, verse 5, 31, 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Now, where we were on Wednesday, verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times, there's your word, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, time to be born or time to die. My times are in thy hand, plural. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies, from them that persecute me. So God, David, and all of it, did you know the lot was cast into the lap? I did. And God does to me, all my times are in his hand. Wow. Day and night, I can't hide, Psalm 139. There's nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. God, and your thoughts to me, about us, are more than the sand of the sea. So therefore my times. So the times, that which is bound. The courses of time, the occurrences of time, the up and down, the up and downs of time, everything in time, which occurs in time, all Monday through all the hours, all the minutes, all the things that are going on, not only in your heart, in your body, in your home, in your family, in the country, in the world, there they are. They're all busy, going. My times. I live in these times. We live in these times. We aren't living in the days of Attila the Hun. We're living now. That's where we are. We're in it. The 5 minutes of 12, Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. We're there. So when you're there, you're there. But 50 years ago, people would say, we're going to be there, and we're looking for the Lord's coming. 50 years later, here we are, and the Lord's coming. And they're looking 50 years, but we're still there. But boy, 50 years ago was one thing. Today is quite another in our country, in our world, 50 years ago. Wow. We're there. So we got to understand that. And we're having a time of it. That's what we're going to do, because we have to adjust. We don't get caught up in it, but we need to adjust and understand what's happening. Therefore, my times are in thy hand, God, all my times, all the outworking in a most wonderful way. So go over with me, please, to pick up that thought, over to 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, and if I can, let me just get there myself. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and you will please note, as you come to the end, Chronicles is the history of Israel from the priesthood, from the temple. Therefore, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 29. Now the acts of David, the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel, the prophet, the seer, in the book of Nathan, the prophet, and in the book of Gad, the seer. That's how we got all this wonderful truth. That, verse 30, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the world. David lived in Jerusalem and the whole world. God, were you watching Africa, India, North America? Were you conscious of all of this, God? Yes, said David. What does David know? My times are in his hand. We're a little dot in the middle of Jerusalem. But the big picture, God is you. And there's nothing taking place anywhere that you aren't in charge of. The lot is cast into the lap. But the whole disposing is up to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, over if I can, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, First Chronicles chapter 29, picking up, please, in David. God is David's looking to for the on behalf of the people to bless them, and rejoice in their willingness to give and everything. So now, First Chronicles 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all, A-L-L, that is in the heaven and in earth, in the earth, is thine. Everything is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted, and thou art exalted as head above all. So God, you have certainly take care of things. Verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. So God, my times, what are we, Psalm 31 and 15, my times are in thy hand. Well, God, are you in charge? Yes, I am, said God. I'm in charge. Wow. And God, everything. And that's what Ecclesiastes, we can't do it. We have in one hand, we lose it on the other hand. God, who can help us? Only God. We got to include God. We can't exclude God, that's all. And so, in the light of that, verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. For but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, for the temple, etc. For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. In other words, there's nothing in ours anyway. We shared that the other day, Wednesday. You don't own the clothes, you don't own your house, you don't own the land, you don't own the furniture. All of it is what? Make it easy. You bring nothing into the world, 1 Timothy 6 and 7. The only way you came into the world is as a baby, a physical baby. That's all you did, physical baby. And when you go out, you're going to leave the physical baby that has become a body, and you're going to leave it in the ground. You take nothing in, 1 Timothy 6, 7, and it is certain you'll take nothing out. None of it was yours. None of it. Period. The time isn't yours. The time belongs to God. That's awesome. What's that do? It makes me trust him. That's what it does. He's the boss. And so I don't play little games with God, and neither do you, I'm sure. No, sir. No, no games. Straight down the line. And that's what I'm trying to get the people to see. Most of the system out, the church system, etc., isn't doing that. They aren't doing that. They're having a time, but where's God? God's the issue. Nothing else. It isn't the music. It isn't anything. Even what we say, even in reading the word, it isn't the word. It's God who gave it. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, it all belongs to God. Out of his own hand, he gives and does it. Chapter 12. In chapter 12, you'll recall, now God, you give and you provide. My times are in thy hand. So David is trusting God, and we ended in Chronicles there. Well, all of us, everything else in the world is trusting God, looking to God. God's outworking everything. That's awesome. So therefore, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, giving us another little taste, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, this is all the people coming to help Dan, David as king. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandments. So what have we got? All of these are 200. They understand what's going on. Discernment. How much discernment is there? Believers have lousy discernment, unfortunately. Not all you guys, of course, but we just don't have good discernment. We do and say things that are stupid, but we don't discern. So God, if you aren't in charge, the lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing is up to God. If someone doesn't help us, where are we? We're stuck trying to work our way, like in Psalm 31, all the pits and line mines and everything, landmines that blow up. All the things are there. We get caught in the traps. So God, if you aren't helping us, how are we going to get down the corridor of time? Thank you, God, that my times are in your hand. Thank you that all of that which I face, all of that, you're going to take care of it. You're the judge. You have to make it work, because I can't ever make this work. Only you can. So I'm looking to you, God, to do it. And that's the men of Issachar were given discernment. What's the church need? Discernment. Discern, people that discern. They do it. Let's say it. Why can't we do that? Did you look at the other side of the coin? If you do this, they're going to get this. You keep got a balance. You say, well, what's wrong with that? People say, what's wrong with doing that? Balance it. What about all the repercussions, believers, unbelievers, and everywhere? How is it going to affect them? And it changes what you do. You don't do it anymore. You have to fix things. Discernment. God, you have to give it. You have to give it to help us. So therefore, in your wonderful, wonderful grace, as you help us to grow and to know, if you would please, over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. So just trying to put in front of us a little bit, we're having a time of it. But it's nothing new. And the more we're exercised in it, the better off we are. So therefore, in Psalm 37, picking up, please, and verse 23. Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and we will, and we do, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. We can get back up again. For the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. So as we're journeying, we just said it, we can't fix things. I don't know how to fix it. Only God. I don't know how. I don't have the discernment. I don't have the understanding. But God, you do. So God, help us as we go down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, are you going to get me through this? Absolutely. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Am I going to get through? I'm going to get through. But I got to go down the corridor of time, and God, you're going to go and bless and do what you do. So therefore, chapter 32. And picking up, please. So, chapter 32, verse 3. This is David now. David had a problem, Bathsheba and all those different things. And when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. That was over a year. He had that. But day and night, verse 4, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Salah. So God, for a whole year, David's going to go in the process, and it's God's hand. David, you're blessed in going out and coming in. But for a whole year, you had to struggle through something that you should have fixed. You should have fixed it with God. You should have cleared it up with God quickly, quickly. Confess your sin, be done. But you didn't do it. You didn't do it. You should have done it, but you didn't do it. And therefore, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me, surround me, like a wall, surround me about with songs of deliverance. So God, you're going to be gracious to me as I go down the corridor of time. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. Verse 8, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Only don't be as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, you don't want to have to be controlled. You should have a willingness to go with God. You choose to do so. You want God's will for your life. You want to do it, and you need to do it. Otherwise, it stays with you and doesn't go away. Now, having said that, in Psalm 31, you're right there, able to look at it. Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in thy hands. And the missionary years ago, missionary in the Congo, had translating in the Bible into their language. And they were trying to translate this sentence. thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. And they were trying to translate that sentence in for the natives to see it. And they were stuck because they just couldn't do it. So therefore, they ended up with these wonderful words in order to help the natives. In other words, I'm going to read, thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. What did they say in their translation? All my life's whys, W-H-Y-S, and whens, W-H-E-N-S, and wheres, W-H-E-R-E-S, and wherefores are in God's hands. Everything about my life is in God's hands. Everything. You want to explain anything? Think about anything? Answer anything? God said, God can do it. God understands. So therefore, our hands, our times are in thy hand. Why should we doubt or fear? Our Father's hand will never cease, never cause. His shield never cause. His child, the shield that he protects us with, a needless tear. The only tears are going to be when you need them, to learn, to humble ourselves to a wonderful, wonderful Savior, a wonderful, wonderful God. And we need to look to God, to want God. And in closing, if I can, remember the little illustration. The father brought the little boy in the home out there, bought him a little duck, and had a duck, and they had a nice pet duck, and the father gave him for Christmas a nice slingshot, and that. And the little boy, what do little boys do with slingshots? Shoot them. And the little duck was waddling free. It was a free duck. And the free duck was moving out there in the grass, the field. And in the process, the little boy, which understandably, little boys, you pull the slingshot back and you want to hit something. Well, there's that duck. And he pulled back his slingshot. And the duck was out there and he shot it. And the duck died. And the servant that was doing the dishes, they had servants, was doing the dishes, saw it. And so he blackmailed the little boy. So the little boy had to do all kinds of dishes and stuff for him. And the father came in one day and saw him doing dishes and that. He said, that's what I hire these people for. And the little boy, you know, and finally the little boy told him, the little boy said, listen, he would tell you that I took my slingshot and killed that duck. You wonder how the duck died? I did it. I did the duck. Now, so therefore, the father looked at him and said, why didn't you tell me? You would have saved yourself all of those dishes. All you had to do was tell me that, and that would have taken care of it. But you didn't do it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful in what? Just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why don't you just do that? Instead of living with guilt and playing with it, and I should have done this, and why did I do this, and I do this, and we go by weeks and months sometime. All we had to do is, 1 Corinthians 11, judge yourself and you shall not be judged. Judge it. I did it, God. That's my old nature. For such a time as this, such a time, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is God's. And when you cut the cookie and stand back and objectively look at the realities of things, they start popping out. And all of a sudden you change, because the realities change things, don't they? Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Help us in every way, God, it's just us. Deal with the many and all the different needs and problems and sicknesses, comings and goings. God, it's just us. We want to feed well. We want to be fat and flourishing in your fullness. So God, that we can be an example, a testimony, that we can hold the fort. God, even so, come. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for dealing with the little, the old, the young. God, the Spirit of God, no one does it like you do, period. We can't do without you. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Mm-hmm.